This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Yes, indeed. It is the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Reginald Adetula in alongside Mike Bassick and Alec Medford on this Monday in the Metroplex. Corey and Kevin, both on vacation. I don't know what those vacations constitute. I have no idea. 877-881.
Kevin, I know, went out of town.
He did?
Yes. I don't know. I forget where he went. I think it was a little bit of a trip.
Like, I think he said something about Jacksonville one time.
Jacksonville, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm giving you that's the fullest extent of what I
sounds like the best trip in the world, man. You know, T-Law.
Oh. Well, you think T-Law is there right now?
Actually, just my buddy Paul Rigdon, who I played minor league baseball with. That'd be cool to see him. I think he's a firefighter in Jacksonville.
Kevin went to Jacksonville to see a firefighter.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. But I think that's
official now. I think that's officially the line that the show has.
I think Corey's just hanging out at home.
Okay. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin and Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Let us know if what you believe that Kevin and Corey are doing on their vacation. In their stead, we're here to keep you entertained and hang out with you on this evening. And so with that being the case, I will carry on what Kevin Hagelin has done. And I probably shouldn't make that very vague because he's done a lot of things that I personally wouldn't want to carry on. However, what he has done is he's taken us through this ESPN series of lists as heading up to the training camp of 2024, where they've talked to executives, coaches, scouts, and had them rank various positions. I know that we talked about safeties, we talked about tight ends, we talked about running backs, which obviously the Cowboys were not going to pop up on. Now we get to quarterbacks. We get to the premier position in the National Football League, quarterbacks. And just like this, I'm going to again make this a guessing game for you fine gentlemen. For Mike and Alec Medford. Alec, I don't get to work with you nearly enough, so I'd like to ask you this, and you gauge this yourself. When it comes to these guessing games that Kevin likes throwing up, how successful do you feel like you are, particularly when it comes to the football ones?
For the football, I'd say maybe a 70% success rate.
Okay. All right.
Anything outside of that, it probably goes down to 40-60.
Okay. Alec, are we going to team up on this or challenge each other on this?
Oh, I feel like that's Reggie's discretion.
No, you guys get to decide whether you want to team up or whether you want to try and beat each other on this.
All right.
Okay. So there's obviously 10. I count them. 10 quarterbacks ranked. Obviously, there's some honorable mentions and those types of things. How many of those 10 do you gentlemen think you can get?
Just the best quarterbacks in the league?
The best quarterbacks as ranked by executives, scouts, and coaches.
I will say, Alec, I'll throw this number out there since you said 70%. I think probably getting 7 is easy. I just think once you get to about quarterback 7 through 14, it gets really tough to know who likes what.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of discourse once you get to number 7, 8, that range. So I think we can get 7 pretty easily. Outside of that, I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
Alec, you started off.
We'll set the number is 7.5, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all can go ahead and bet for entertainment purposes only on whether or not these gentlemen can get it. But here we go. Let's do the list, gentlemen. Go ahead and name them. We'll see if they're on the list.
Let's take the low-hanging fruit, Patrick Mahomes.
That is correct.
Hey.
Do you know where he ranks on this list?
1.
Yes. Jeez. Patrick Mahomes, clearly the best quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, for another conversation, I just wonder at this point, is how close is he to a top 5 quarterback of all time? And he still has 10 more years left as long as he stays healthy in the NFL. But all right, so let me...
Wait, before we move on, I want to point this out because, I mean, obviously last year's ranking was 1. They tell you what the highest and lowest rankings were amongst the people that voted. Obviously, the highest ranking was 1. Apparently, his lowest ranking was 2. Someone didn't rank him as maybe not the best quarterback.
Was it after Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs or something?
This is all for this year, remember.
Oh, you're saying this year somebody rated him number 2.
Yeah.
Well, all right. So I will say he won the MVP and he does have two MVPs, Alec. I'm going to guess he might not be number two, but Lamar Jackson's going to be on this list.
Absolutely.
You're correct. Number four, Lamar Jackson comes in at. Highest ranking was two, so people put him up that high. Lowest ranking was five, pretty solidly.
I get he's controversial, but he's a dude who, I guess you could put, you know, Dak in this, is that he's going to win 10 or more games if he's healthy. But go ahead, Alec, pick another guy. This should still stay easy.
Yeah, give me one Joshua Allen of the Buffalo Bills.
That should be on there.
It is.
Top five for sure, right?
Correct. Third. In fact, right. He was the quarterback that got the one, or got at least a one vote. Highest ranking was one. Lowest ranking was six on this. So, yeah, man, there's some people. There's at least one person out there that's actually like, hey, this guy is actually the best quarterback in the league. Do you agree with that sentiment, or does that feel a little too far?
I think Patrick Mahomes has separated himself so far away from the competition that I don't see. You can have the argument if he's number two. You can have arguments on Lamar Jackson and some other guys we're going to name here. I don't think there's an argument on number one. I think at this point we're at Michael Jordan status in 1993. Like, where it's like, there's no argument. You can, Charles Barkley's great, Patrick Ewing's great, David Robinson's great. Like, there's a lot of great players in this league. It's just not comparable to this guy.
Yeah, and I don't disagree, which is funny because the 940 makes a good point on the text line. Mahomes wasn't really very good last season until the playoffs, which, I mean, he, and I do wonder how much that is. We just look up and we go on your, on the standard that we've set for you.
And
right.
Think about who he was throwing to. I give you guys Travis Kelce. He's one of the best tight ends of all time. Dude, he has average wide receivers at best. Inexperienced guy. Sky Moore doesn't even know where the hell he's supposed to go 50% of the time.
This is true. That's why he separated himself from Josh Allen, because Allen has had a more talented roster around him here recently. Still haven't been able to do anything with it.
All right, let's continue. This week, baby, we have the top 10 quarterbacks in the league for 2024.
Let me have some fun here. I'm going, before we say yes or no.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I saw a dude go up 27-0 with 2 minutes to go until halftime of a playoff game against the Cowboys. Now, I don't think it's time to get that Jordan Love. I do think he'll be top 10.
Yeah.
But I don't want, because I think he's going to be somewhere between that 7 and 10 range, and I'm scared. How about this, Alec? I just want to make sure you're okay with this. Are you okay with C.J. Stroud being Rookie of the Year and already a top 10 quarterback? Because he is getting a lot of love this offseason.
I'll tell you that I'm more than okay with that. I think he's definitely a top 10
That's
quarterback.
That's where I'm going.
He is a top 10 quarterback. Ranked 7th,
okay.
C.J. Stroud. Highest ranking actually was 2nd. Someone was willing to put him up that high. He appeared on nearly 90% of the ballots. And a few voters believe that he's top 3 already. So a lot of love for the young man, C.J. Stroud. I know that a lot of people are watching them this year because of the idea of a sophomore slump and those
types of things. It'll be interesting with expectations.
Yeah.
Expectations can change some things.
For sure. All right, so you guys have gotten 1. You guys have gotten 3. You guys have gotten 4 and 7 now.
Go ahead.
I think we'll go with Joe Burrow, even injury and all. Yeah, he's got to be up
there.
That's
a good pick.
Injury and all, Joe Burrow comes in at number 2 on this list. Still has that love and that respect. Although someone decided to rank him as low as 7, I imagine that is injury concerns, but still widely regarded as the second best quarterback in the league.
All right, so now my next one. I'm going to go with the guy with the highest rating here on stats with a 113. And that would be Brock Purdy, who threw 31 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, and threw for 4,280 yards last year. Are you okay with that?
I'm okay with it, but it makes me sick that we're talking about him being a top 10 quarterback.
Because you don't think so.
Like, I just eye test wise, I don't think so, but I think what he's able to do with that team is more than enough to put him in that conversation.
I'm going with it.
From the 806, they said, I'll take the over of 7.5 at plus 150. Unfortunately, friend, you are incorrect, as you gentlemen are as well. Brock Purdy comes in as the first honorable mention. I don't know if the honorable mentions are ranked, but he does not make the top 10 here.
I didn't want to pick Dak because I know he's on it, but Dak to a T were the other ones that I was really thinking about. I mentioned Jordan Love. Are all three of those guys on the top 10 list?
So
Brock Purdy made the Super Bowl. So he's made the NFC Championship game as a rookie. And he's made the Super Bowl as a second-year guy. And they're like, nah, he's not that good.
They put him on the honorable mentions, and they did put him first on the honorable mentions, which I do believe ranks him at 11th. But yeah, man, there's still, I guess, some level of consternation, even amongst coaches, executives, and scouts as to just how good he is as a quarterback. Hateration from over on the behind the board is immense. All right, so you mentioned Tua Tagovailoa.
I knew he would be on there, but I thought for sure Brock Purdy would with his success, but...
So Tua comes in as an honorable mention as well.
Well, then Dak.
And Dak Prescott is indeed on this list. He is number 10. So he slides into the top 10 just barely.
So Jordan Love is going to be up there. Like, he's going to be higher than I thought.
And so Dak Prescott's highest ranking was 7th, but his lowest ranking was entirely out of the top 10. And last year he was ranked exactly 10 as well. So like, it seems like there is a little bit of a solid placing of him in that range that you talk about all that
time. I think he's 7 to 15.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think he's 7, but I also, no matter how much I dislike Dak Prescott come playoff time where he plays his worst football of his life, he can't be worse than the 15th quarterback in the NFL. There's just no way.
Very good.
He's going to destroy. His stats at the end of his career are going to be amazing because against the bad teams and the average teams, he is unbelievable.
Right. Big production, very good, but outside of the top tier is what they ultimately write about him. And that is a dilemma that we talk about a lot in theory, just in general in sports, is like, is it very good but not elite? Is that fine? And when you get to the most premier position in sports, it continues to be a question that we have a conversation about here in Dallas time and time again. So Dak Prescott is 10.
I know. Yeah, help us out because I know we're running out of time here. Just give me the top 10 and let me see here.
And so obviously I'll start it from the top again. Patrick Mahomes clearly 1, Burrow 2, 3 Josh Allen, 4 Lamar Jackson. Those you all got. Yeah. Number 5 you didn't. He is a Highland Park kid though.
Stafford. That's too high for him.
I was kind of amazed, and he has a wide range of votes as well.
I think he's in the 7 to 15 range.
His highest rank was 3, which I imagine did a little bit of pulling here, but his lowest rank was 10 as well. Last year he was ranked 10, so he was all over that all kind of range there as well. And so he ends up 5. Justin Herbert, another one of those darlings for folks, comes in at 6 because of, you know, he ends up being like a I hate to call him nerds, but I do love to call him nerds at the same time. I'm an enigma. Deal with it.
In a weird way, he makes so many mistakes that I think if you gave him the San Francisco 49ers these last 2 years, now maybe with the coaching he would do better. But he makes so many silly mistakes in a game that Brock Purdy at least doesn't turn over the ball on you and kill you where you're like, what the crap was that, dude? Like, we might not like Brock Purdy's overall talent, but he is smart enough to not do stupid things where Herbert drives me insane with at times his IQ.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that goes to one of the questions that Sean and RJ were talking earlier about today, the idea of Cooper Rush versus Trey Lance. And I think that that's a question of, what's the floor versus what's the ceiling? And I think with Justin Herbert, you talk about ceiling in a big way. Okay. Apparently, a AFC personnel evaluator said that he's big, strong, fast, powerful arm, will stare down targets some and try to make hero plays, holding on to the ball, but has everything that you want. So again, it comes back to that high ceiling.
There's just, because look, I love him, but I don't think he's a top 10 quarterback. Did they put Trevor Lawrence in here?
So you had CJ Stroud at 7. Aaron Rodgers comes in at 8. Still.
Okay.
Still.
All right.
Jared Goff.
Okay, that's a good pick. That's a good pick.
And then Dak Prescott at 10. So that means in the honorable mentions, you get Purdy, you get Jordan Love, you get Jalen Hurts.
Okay, yeah.
Tua Tagovailoa, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence is the final of the honorable mentions there. And then Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield received votes on the out fringes. Man. So that's how it breaks down. It's still interesting to see how the people in the sport evaluate quarterbacks, because look, man, I know that there are folks in the sport, but I think it's also fair to look around and say, this is one of those places in football where we can look at those folks and be like, they haven't completely figured this out as well. And you can see how you can look at some of the ways that they rank this and you go, I don't agree with them. And I'm sure that there isn't a full amount of agreement in a lot of places amongst them as well. Okay. So, yeah.
Sorry we messed up.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize
to
Kevin.
Brock Purdy's bad at football. Yeah. I didn't know he's that bad. But Alex believes it because he doesn't wear upside SF hats, I guess.
You know, I was going to go hatless this week, Mike, but...
Tomorrow?
Yeah, I think tomorrow we're breaking
tomorrow
back
we get
out.
The salad
on
hat.
The backwards Big D.
I don't like the way hat. That sounds. Okay. Thank you for eventually Friday. Adding the hat in. It's the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us. on this Monday during All-Star Week. Coming up next, time for Wanker of the Weekend. Travis Hunter, Jerry Rice, and the English men's national team. Are they the Wankers of the Weekend? Are you maybe the Wanker of the Weekend? 877-881-1053. We'll discuss that next on the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Reginald Adatula filling in for...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Kevin and Corey, that's Mike Bassick, Alec Medford hanging out with us, and you on this Monday. Thanks for doing so. Always get involved with the program by texting in to the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line, 877-881-1053, where from the 469, they said, Reginald, why do you pronounce Tua's name that way? I've heard... his name, it sounds like you're saying Tagovailoa. I had to ask. That's how his name has been pronounced, especially for me. And Mike, you know this as a broadcaster. A lot of teams and stuff will give you pronunciation guides.
Yeah.
But then also, like, you'll also get, sometimes you'll get guys early on in their career, they'll do, like, interviews and they'll let people know how to pronounce their name if they have a name that's maybe a little bit tougher for the average American to pronounce. And he's done that. And what he said in a video that I'm sure I could go and search up again is Tagovailoa. And so ultimately, that's the way that I'll say it, because it's that he call himself Tagovailoa. I call him Tagovailoa. That's the way that I work it. And I know that that sounds weird to the ear. I call him Tua as well, so that you know who I'm talking about. But that's why I say that way. Maybe I'm a wanker for doing so, as it is now time for Wanker of the Weekend. Who were the folks doing the weird and stupid things over the course of the weekend that we want to, what, reverse shout out? I don't know. What is the reverse of a shout out? Do we know? What is, like, how does that work?
You're quiet on
yeah.
it?
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that works, though.
He probably isn't even going to hear this, but there's a kid that's going to SMU who listens to the show a lot. He's working out at the All-Star Village the last weekend. I think his name was Chase. If I'm messing up your name, I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember, but really cool dude. He was working at the world's largest baseball, and he's like, yeah, listen to the show and love you and all this stuff. And so I told him I'd give him a shout out to start the show, and I just remembered at 11:26 that I would shout Chase out.
Okay, shout
and
out to Chase.
Dan Tastic, who's on... Twitch.
Yeah, man.
Saw him yesterday with, I believe, his wife. I'm going to hope that was his wife. I'm pretty sure it was.
With his lady friend.
Yeah, and said hello to him, so it was awesome getting to see him.
Yes.
People came out that were like, hey, we like you, but we love your wife, because these two kids are Oak Cliff Pediatric kids.
Hey!
So they go to Oak Cliff Pediatrics, and I was like, yeah, my wife's awesome.
So, Wankers of the Weekend. Somebody said, shout out for good. Calling them out. Call out. There we go. I like what we're doing there. Let us call them folks out, including Travis Hunter, the two-way player from Colorado. Big-time guy. Five-star guy. And he
Colorado
plays like
State
it.
Intentionally hurt him. Was it Colorado State who intentionally
was
hurt
Colorado
him?
Was that Colorado State? I've already.
I
yeah.
think so.
Yeah. But, I mean, fantastic player, cornerback, wide receiver, and, like, a guy that we haven't necessarily seen, or we haven't seen necessarily guys do this the same way, where they're like 100% on both sides of the ball. So he has a full familiarity with the entirety of that team. He's clearly one of Coach Deion Sanders' favorites. And he was on stream playing that new NCAA 25 because, hey, he's a cover athlete. I imagine that one of the perks is that you get early access to it. And he was playing a game. Offensive line wasn't playing that well, and this is what he had to say about him.
Okay, bro. Why am I getting chased by him?
There we go.
How? The O-line is realistic. Yes, very realistic.
What you mean?
Can't block for nothing.
He said that the offensive line is realistic in the game because they can't block for nothing. That makes him a wanker, right? Like, he's calling out his offensive line that, I mean, he does not have to play behind this year, but he is, I mean, as a wide receiver, you imagine you want the offensive line to be pretty good so that you can get the ball.
Yeah, I will say this. There seemed to be a lot of blame from the coaching staff, Deion Sanders, on that situation. And I thought to myself, aren't you the person responsible for getting the kids in?
Question worth asking. Definitely a question worth asking.
But Hopefully it's better this year, because there was a lot of blame on that offensive line as that season progressed. And I guess rightfully so.
It wasn't a great offensive line.
At the same time, I thought you said you were getting a whole bunch of NIL and transfer kids to make sure that was good. So I don't know how different it's going. I will say this. If it's not good this year, stop blaming the kids and start blaming yourself for not getting the kids to block.
I think that that's always been something that I've had a little bit of concern of, is that Deion at times can make things about himself. And I feel like in a coaching role, and look, we've seen a lot of coaches that make things about themselves. So I'm not trying to position this as though Deion is the only person who's ever done that. But especially in the coaching role that he had when he was at Jackson State, and I think how he positions himself is like wanting to uplift, is like, I don't really like it if you get to these places where you're putting folks down. And in this instance, it's Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter playing a video game talking about the offensive line. But it feels like, as you mentioned, kind of a environment where that happens a little bit more than I personally would like.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I think we all need, I don't know if need's the right word. I think we'd all like Colorado to be competitive. I'm not saying win it all or anything, but it will be. It was a great story in September, and by the time you got to the end of October, you're like, this Colorado thing isn't really a story, except like who are they going to fire, or what kid is coming in, or what kid is leaving, or whatever. So I do find that Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes are very entertaining, and they bring a lot of eyes to the table as long as they're competitive.
So as we continue Wanker of the Weekend, would you say that Jerry Rice is possibly a wanker, Mike? Because Jerry Rice was playing at a golf invitational. In fact, the American Century Championship Golf Tournament.
Was he wearing celebrity game. What does he wear with Brett Favre, where they can just play football?
Is that
at all
the
times?
Copper fit?
Yeah, because I was thinking bronze. Was he wearing copper fit everywhere?
I don't think so. I didn't quite see on the video, and neither was he wearing that Popeyes helmet with the chicken on the face mask. None of those things. Yeah, I know. I was really hoping that was the case too. However, he was out there playing on Friday, and he apparently lost his cool with a couple of reporters. This is from the reporter's standpoint what happened. They walked up, tried to ask him a question, and this happened.
Okay, do the Chiefs have a good enough receiving core this year to win again?
You a man.
He then went further to say, I will F you up. That's Jerry Rice, the second greatest wide receiver of all time, according to me.
And the question was what?
Play the question one more time for me, Alec.
Okay, do the Chiefs have a good enough receiving core this year to win again?
Jerry Rice.
That doesn't seem like a bad question.
It doesn't.
I'm confused.
It really doesn't. And so I was trying to figure out like why he got aggressive in that way. He even went as far as to say, if you want some, come get it, right? Like, he got to that place where he was really aggressive. So it's a couple of journalists who work for Starcade Media. They released a statement. They said that they just meant no disrespect. They went and asked him a question. But according to Jerry Rice, that they had like winked and tried to like kind of, and he took that to mean that they were trying to get under his skin.
Okay.
And Mike, I kind of wanted to ask you, because as we know, you are famous. You have been in these situations where you've talked to people. Like, have you ever been in a place where you felt like somebody was like trying to get at you and trying to needle you, even if they weren't specifically saying the words?
Maybe not from the media. I mean, I'd say in New York they do. That's just the way they do media there. Like, if you're playing for, I only played for the Mets. I didn't play for the Yankees. And I'm sure they do it over there too, if things aren't going great for a stretch for you or for the team. But yeah, I've had people that have definitely done that in my life that weren't media people, that feel like it's their turn because they don't like me for some reason or another. Like, that's what was great about being out at the All-Star Village is
they like you.
There's a lot of like. There's a lot of love out there. There's a lot of compliments. So we will see every once in a while, obviously, on the text line, you'll see maybe a negative comment or two. So, yeah, there's definitely people that try to get under your skin. I don't know why you try to get under Jerry Rice's skin, but the Chiefs don't seem to be like their rival. Like, if it was.
Yeah, well, I guess they did just beat the Niners in the Super Bowl.
That's
and
true.
Apparently Jerry Rice said, I'm going to defend the San Francisco 49ers. This is my history. So I do wonder if that filters in. And someone on the text line from the 940, and I can't confirm this, I didn't see this necessarily, but they said it's a Chiefs reporter who has harassed Rice on multiple occasions with this question.
All right. Well, then that makes sense. If the person is continually doing this when he sees Jerry Rice, then I get the response. But just randomly, I was like,
Right. Well, what happened?
I've heard that Jerry's a pretty cordial guy.
Right, and that's why. And so maybe we need to shift this. Maybe these reporters are now the wankers for constantly asking what seemingly a benign question, but constantly like asking him that to kind of poke
on your face.
That's right. As we continue trying to determine who was the wanker of the weekend, Mike, I know that you're a big time soccer guy. I know that.
Yeah.
Always said that.
Go soccer.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you were watching the Copa America final that took place in Miami last night.
Heck yeah, Colombia versus Argentina.
That is correct. I'm honestly a little surprised that you knew
that. I only saw that people were going through like air conditioning ducts to get into
yes!
the game or whatever. That's what I saw. I saw 1-0, somebody won.
Yeah, yes, 1-0, Argentina wins. They become the winningest team in Copa America history. I believe this was their 16th time winning that. But that's not what we're talking about. Are the Copa America organizers wankers of the weekend, as this game took place at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami, and they let us know ahead of time?
Oh, that was in Miami that happened? I thought it was in another country,
no,
the way I was seeing things.
But this is the thing to understand. Copa America is a tournament that's typically in South America. It's a South American federation. Okay. But they decided to play it in America, I imagine, to make more money. So they invited some North American teams, America, United States, Canada, Mexico. They played in this tournament, and they played here locally, but they did not, they organized it themselves. They did not organize it with American Federation and things like that. And so for the final taking place in Miami, they had a rule that there was no tailgating or anything like that. They said that only people with tickets were going to be allowed into the gates.
Right.
And so, in order to try and enforce that, they were stopping people at the gates, and it led to some mass hysteria. People were pushing up on against it.
Yeah.
They delayed the game up to like 80 minutes.
Okay.
And that's where you saw people then trying to get in any means necessary, climbing gates, climbing through air ducts and things. And it looked like people were almost getting trampled to the point where you then saw inside the game, once the game did get near started, that there was a possibly overcrowding in the stadium because it's happening in Miami. Messi is playing there, biggest soccer player in the world. I mean, they've got to be wankers of the weekend, right? Because this seems like a legitimate security and safety issue.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I didn't know that happened in Miami. I saw the video of it and wasn't paying attention. I just assumed it was happening in South America, to be honest. And so I was like, okay, I get it. I can't believe that a place that deals with, that's the same place that the Dolphins play?
Yes.
So a place that deals with NFL games, that deals with probably some college games, that deals with a lot of security issues.
Mm-hmm. But that's what makes me wonder if, like, did the Copa America organizers not consult the people that actually do this consistently and talk to them about, like, hey, how does this work? What do we need to do in order to make sure that this is safe? Because ultimately, this was not safe at all.
Right.
There was people on top of people. And so, yeah, I think that you end up being the wanker of the weekend when you have people having to climb through ducts, air ducts.
Yeah. And I just thought it would be close to I just think of AT&T Stadium. If you wanted to sneak in, I just don't think you can. I think that they have everything. Like, you have to go through certain doors.
Right.
To get in, and they were finding random ways where there were breaches where you could climb a fence or whatever, where I just don't know if you can do that at AT&T Stadium. Maybe you can. Maybe the people that know how to do that thing can do that thing. But I just was, it looked like a foreign country.
Well, that was America, the United States of America. Only, and look, possibly the second.
How do you know when you climb into an air duct where it's going?
I don't know. I don't even think, like, we see that so much in movies. Like, are air ducts usually big enough to support people anyways?
Yeah, like, I didn't know that they were strong enough. With the brackets that they have, they just seem like flexible metal?
Someone that works in HVAC, let us know. 877-881-1053. Is that something that you can actually even really do, is climb through air ducts? Because that seems like a Death Star type oversight when we talk about design in things. There you go. Wankers of the weekend there. And they say from the 806, they won't go by CONMEBOL regulations. CONMEBOL was in charge of everything. Like I said, yeah, they organized the Copa America match. And so, yeah. And another point that's also worth making from the 321, Miami is basically another country. Very different out there. Very, very different. Yeah, maybe the second worst security that you saw this weekend. KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Coming up next, It's time for a little gridiron gravy, including the passing of a wide receiver and another one who says he will not sign an extension. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Blackwell stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Jones. How does that happen in the Denver secondary?
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Datula in for Kevin and Corey. Mike Bassick, the famous Mike Bassick, still here as always. Alec Medford as well on the ones and twos. We're about to go around the NFL here shortly and dip into some gridiron gravy. But right now, we were just talking about the Copa America thing and what was happening at the final in Miami. The madhouse and rush of people and folks trying to get into the air ducts just to get into the stadium. And that had us asking, like, is that even a viable thing? And so I asked our HVAC folks out there, and they said, yeah, commercial HVAC has big enough ducts to fit folks. And in fact, it would be at a higher gauge and with, I guess, close enough hanging or whatever that ultimately it would support people. And okay. I mean, you see it in movies and you're just like, is that a real thing? And apparently it is. So far as that from the 214, they said they were when they were police officers, they found a guy hiding in an air conditioner vent in an apartment. So there you go.
Good to know, I guess.
And also good to know that we have tons of people listening that are into HVAC and know what they're doing there. So shout out to you fine folks out there. But without any further ado, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
It makes him happy. I could see the smile creep up Perfect. On Mike's face when that here we go.
It's time, man. It's almost football time.
We are getting closer and closer to football, right? We get through this time this week. We get through All-Star weekend, and we are that much closer to training camp getting going and starting the path on to the Super Bowl. That's what it's all about. Unfortunately, some sad news that happened this weekend, and you heard the clip coming into the segment. Jacoby Jones, who was a big-time Super Bowl hero for the Ravens, he also played for the Giants, for the Texans. He was found dead this Sunday morning, in fact. And 9-year former pro, he was known for his heroics in that 2012 playoffs. Ultimately, it happened in the 2013 season that saw the Ravens win a championship, including that what do they call it, the Mile High Miracle, that catch there that you heard there, and also a huge Super Bowl kick return, which actually, let's go ahead and play that here.
It'll be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones, and look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
He was only 40 years old passing, and we don't have very many details on his passing. It's just kind of sad seeing guys go young, especially like when you just before we know anything about it. And no, it's just like seeing the number 40 for a guy is just so wild because he's younger than you. He's not that much older than me. It's wild to think about.
Even recently with Larry Allen, like it's still hard to believe that Larry Allen passed away just a month or two ago. And I guess I didn't follow up or read more. Did we ever find out, like, did Larry Allen, was it like just a, I don't know.
I don't recall seeing anything further on what caused his passing.
I haven't looked or asked or anything like that on did we find out what happened with Larry in Mexico, I believe.
Yeah. And unfortunately don't have much information there. I can see if I can find anything, but multiple reports came out that, he passed. He just recently celebrated his birthday 4 days ago. And so, just turned 40. And the NFLPA also released a statement saying that he passed away peacefully at his home is at least something that we did see, his home in New Orleans. So rest in peace to Jacoby Jones, one of the few, if I remember correctly, wide receivers or maybe only to have a kick return touchdown and a receiving touchdown in the Super Bowl. So salute to him and, of course, condolences to his family in this, I'm sure, time, real tough time going forward. As we continue in gridiron gravy, we go from that to something that is also sad, but in an entirely different way. Young wide receiver, a much younger wide receiver who's also wearing purple, Jordan Addison, a Vikings wide receiver, was reportedly arrested on a DUI charge in L.A. Addison, according to officers, was asleep at the wheel or behind the wheel at in a Rolls Royce that stopped and it was blocking a freeway lane. So at LAX just before 11 p.m. on Friday. So he was arrested about a half an hour later and he has a DUI investigation on him. And so the Vikings put out a report that said, we're aware of Jordan Addison's arrest this past Friday. And they're currently gathering more information regarding the incident. It feels like we had gotten to a point in football, especially these dead times, where in the past it had been like, look, this is a police blotter time, where when dudes got in trouble, we were making reporting of it. It felt like it died down a little bit, and maybe this is just like a awareness thing, but it feels like we're getting more and more of these things again, hearing about guys getting in trouble with the law.
I feel like Broadus has talked about this and other people have talked about this for years. This is the worst time for NFL organizations because you don't have fake practices where you can keep an eye on people and that they need to be at the facility supposedly. So this is their free time, that week or two, those 2 weeks before training camp, almost like the super free time where they always get nervous about guys making mistakes in their personal life.
Yeah. And so 806 makes a great point. This is a week or so after a teammate was killed by a drunk driver. We talked about the rookie cornerback
that he got hit by a drunk.
But like, that should, in theory, solidify that idea. It's like, hey, you know, we have all these things in place. And you mentioned Broadus. Broadus has told us many times about the various things that teams put in place to make sure that their guys don't end up behind the wheel of an automobile when intoxicated. And here you go again. I do wonder, like, what is not clicking and what is not working with the program that, you know, you're having enough of these pop up? And maybe
because when you get drunk, when you drink too much,
yeah,
you forget.
Yeah,
you forget,
I guess,
about
so
these things. And then also, I don't know this, what car did he get stopped in? Guys might not feel, I'm not saying this is the right move.
It was a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. So you're dealing with a six-figure car.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times guys do not want to leave their six-figure car in a parking lot overnight where they're probably, you know, if you are at a nightclub or you are at a strip club,
yeah,
you're probably not feeling great about that car will not be picked up again till 10 a.m. or noon the next day.
Yeah, but if you're doing all that math, I feel like you've got to be able to do the math of the dangers here. And this
but
is like the lowest level.
You think you can overcome it.
Right.
You're like, I can overcome it. I just have to whatever. And it ends up not working out.
I mean, thankfully, no one was harmed in this, but obviously we've seen this go the wrong way many times. And obviously, we talked about the fact that one of his teammates passed because someone was doing something similar. So it's really kind of sad to continue to see these types of things happen with NFL players and with athletes. And you hope that, like, with all the resources around them, that they take advantage of that so that you're not putting yourself and others in harm's way just because, I don't know, you want to protect your depreciating asset of a car, you know. Real quick before we go here, Gridiron Gravy. T. Higgins, Bengals wide receiver. It's come to a head. He will not sign a contract extension before the deadline to get a new deal inked. And so he will absolutely play under the play on the franchise tag, rather, for this season. And he will be a free agent in the 2025 season. Do you think that T. Higgins ends up leaving the Bengals? And with that being the case, like, how do you feel about Joe Burrow there? Because that was one of the benefits, is that he had a strong wide receiving core. Not saying that he's not good in and of himself, but I'm still not sold that the Bengals are changed their tone and that they're going to now be a team that invests in a big way in their offense and in their team. Like, I do have concerns if that means they're losing talent.
Do you think you can pay $50 million to two wide receivers and have a good team?
That's a good question.
Because they're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase $35 million a year.
Yeah.
So, or he's going to get right around the contracts that are now. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb's about to get his once the Cowboys fold. Is, if I'm going to pay him $35 million, can I pay $25 million? Because now the number's 60. If I'm actually doing the math correctly, can you pay $60 million to two wide receivers and put together the product you need to win? So I think Cincinnati, yes, they're a cheap organization, but I get it. I don't think you got to choose. You cannot have two premium wide receivers as free agents because it costs you too much on the cap.
Yeah. And so this is, I guess that's why we constantly harp on the idea of you got to draft, you got to have young talent around you. But that's a great point, because wide receiver is becoming, and I mean, it is an elite position, but it's becoming an even more highly paid position. Hello, Jones family.
Right, you're going to pay $35 million, approximately $30 to $35 million, to CeeDee Lamb. I think from now on, the other receiver has to cost $15 million or less.
So there you go. It seems like this will be the final year with T. Higgins, with those, that particular pairing of elite wide receivers. So we'll see what the Bengals look like. And this is one of the big reasons why Joe Burrow and health, obviously, in addition to you just want your quarterback there, it's going to be super important, because this looks like the last go with that set of wide receivers. There you go. Some gridiron gravy for you on a Monday on the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Reginald Atatula alongside your guy, Mike Bassick, and then, of course, Alec Medford on the ones and twos. Coming up next, though, Home Run Derby is tonight. What are you hoping to see? What are you expecting to see? And a novelty, I think, when it came to the MLB draft. We'll talk about all of that next on The Fan.
Flacco stepping up and throwing deep down the far sideline. Caught into the end zone. Touchdown, Jacoby Jones. How does that happen in the Denver secondary?
KNC Masterpiece here on 105 through the Fan. Reginald Atatula in for Kevin and Corey. Mike Bassick, the famous Mike Bassick, still here as always. Alec Medford as well on the ones and twos. We're about to go around the NFL here shortly and dip into some gridiron gravy. But right now, we were just talking about the Copa America thing and what was happening at the final in Miami. The madhouse and rush of people and folks trying to get into the air ducts just to get into the stadium. And that had us asking, like, is that even a viable thing? And so I asked our HVAC folks out there, and they said, yeah, commercial HVAC has big enough ducts to fit folks. And in fact, it would be at a higher gauge and with, I guess, close enough hanging or whatever, that ultimately it would support people. And okay. I mean, you see it in movies and you're just like, is that a real thing? And apparently it is. So far as that, from the 214, they said when they were police officers, they found a guy hiding in an air conditioner vent in an apartment. So there you go.
Good to know, I guess.
And also good to know that we have tons of people listening that are into HVAC and know what they're doing there. So shout out to you fine folks out there. But without any further ado, let's go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Here we go.
It makes him happy. I could see the smile creep up on Mike's face when that here we go runs.
It's time, man. It's almost football time.
We are getting closer and closer to football, right? We get through this time this week. We get through All-Star weekend, and we are that much closer to training camp getting going and starting the path on to the Super Bowl. That's what it's all about. Unfortunately, some sad news that happened this weekend, and you heard the clip coming into the segment. Jacoby Jones, who was a big-time Super Bowl hero for the Ravens, he also played for the Giants, for the Texans. He was found dead this Sunday morning, in fact. And 9-year former pro, he was known for his heroics in that 2012 playoffs. Ultimately, it happened in the 2013 season that saw the Ravens win a championship, including that what do they call it, the Mile High Miracle, that catch there that you heard there, and also a huge Super Bowl kick return, which actually, let's go ahead and play that here.
It'll be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones, and look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
He was only 40 years old passing, and we don't have very many details on his passing. It's just kind of sad seeing guys go young, especially like when you just, before we know anything about it, and no, it's just like seeing the number 40 for a guy is just so wild, because he's younger than you. He's not that much older than me. It's wild to think about.
Even recently with Larry Allen, like it's still hard to believe that Larry Allen passed away just a month or two ago. And I guess I didn't follow up or read more. Did we ever find out, like, did Larry Allen, was it like just a, I don't know.
I don't recall seeing anything further
asked or anything like that on, did we find out what happened with Larry in Mexico, I believe.
Yeah. And unfortunately don't have much information there. I could see if I can find anything, but yeah, multiple reports came out that He passed. He just recently celebrated his birthday 4 days ago. Mm. And so, yeah, just turned 40. And the NFLPA also released a statement saying that he passed away peacefully at his home, is at least something that we did see, his home in New Orleans. So rest in peace to Jacoby Jones, one of the few, if I remember correctly, wide receivers, or maybe only, to have a kick return touchdown and a receiving touchdown in the Super Bowl. So salute to him, and of course, condolences to his family in this, I'm sure, time, real tough time going forward. As we continue in Gridiron Gravy, we go from that to something that is also sad, but in an entirely different way. Young wide receiver, a much younger wide receiver who's also wearing purple, Jordan Addison, Vikings wide receiver, was reportedly arrested on a DUI charge in L.A. Addison, according to officers, was asleep at the wheel or behind the wheel at in a Rolls Royce that stopped, and it was blocking a freeway lane. So at LAX just before 11 p.m. on Friday. So he was arrested about a half an hour later, and he has a DUI investigation on him. And so the Vikings put out a report that said, we're aware of Jordan Addison's arrest this past Friday. And they're currently gathering more information regarding the incident. It feels like we had gotten to a point in football, especially these dead times, where in the past it had been like, look, this is a police blotter time, where when dudes got in trouble, we were making reporting of it. It felt like it died down a little bit, and maybe this is just like a awareness thing, but it feels like we're getting more and more of these things again, hearing about guys getting in trouble with the law.
I feel like Broadus has talked about this, and other people have talked about this for years. This is the worst time for NFL organizations, because you don't have fake practices where you can keep an eye on people and that they need to be at the facility, supposedly. So this is their free time, that week or two, those 2 weeks before training camp, almost like the super free time, where they always get nervous about guys making mistakes in their personal life.
Yeah, and so 806 makes a great point. This is a week or so after a teammate was killed by a drunk driver. We talked about the rookie cornerback
that he got hit by a drunk driver.
But like, that should, in theory, solidify that idea. It's like, hey, you know, we have all these things in place. And you mentioned Broadus. Broadus has told us many times about the various things that teams put in place to make sure that their guys don't end up behind the wheel of an automobile when intoxicated. And here you go again. I do wonder, like, what is not clicking and what is not working with the program that, you know, you're having enough of these pop up? And maybe
because when you get drunk, when you drink too much,
yeah,
you forget.
Yeah,
you forget about these things. And then also, I don't know this, what car did he get stopped in? Guys might not feel, I'm not saying this is the right move.
It was a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. So you're dealing with a six-figure car.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times guys do not want to leave their six-figure car in a parking lot overnight, where they're probably, you know, if you are at a nightclub or you are at a strip club,
yeah,
you're probably not feeling great about that car will not be picked up again till 10 a.m. or noon the next day.
Yeah, but if you're doing all that math, I feel like you've got to be able to do the math of the dangers here. And this is like the lowest level.
You think you can overcome it.
Right.
You're like, I can overcome it. I just have to whatever. And it ends up not working out.
I mean, thankfully, no one was harmed in this, but obviously we've seen this go the wrong way many times. And obviously, we talked about the fact that one of his teammates passed because someone was doing something similar. So it's really kind of sad to continue to see these types of things happen with NFL players and with athletes. And you hope that, like, with all the resources around them, that they take advantage of that so that you're not putting yourself and others in harm's way just because, I don't know, you want to protect your depreciating asset of a car, you know? Real quick before we go here, Gridiron Gravy. T. Higgins, Bengals wide receiver. It's come to a head. He will not sign a contract extension before the deadline to get a new deal inked. And so he will absolutely play under the franchise tag for this season. And he will be a free agent in the 2025 season. Do you think that T. Higgins ends up leaving the Bengals? And with that being the case, like, how do you feel about Joe Burrow there? Because That was one of the benefits, is that he had a strong wide receiving core. Not saying that he's not good in and of himself, but I'm still not sold that the Bengals are changed their tone and that they're going to now be a team that invests in a big way in their offense and in their team. Like, I do have concerns if that means they're losing talent.
Do you think you can pay $50 million to two wide receivers and have a good team?
That's a good question.
Because they're going to pay Ja'Marr Chase $35 million a year.
Yeah.
So, or he's going to get right around the contracts that are now. Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb's about to get his once the Cowboys fold. Is, if I'm going to pay him $35 million, can I pay $25 million? Because now the number's 60. If I'm actually doing the math correctly, can you pay $60 million to two wide receivers and put together the product you need to win? So I think Cincinnati, yes, they're a cheap organization, but I get it. I don't think you got to choose. You cannot have two premium wide receivers as free agents because it costs you too much on the cap.
Yeah, and so that's why we constantly harp on the idea of you got to draft, you got to have young talent around you. But that's a great point, because wide receiver is becoming, and I mean, it is an elite position, but it's becoming an even more highly paid position. Hello, Jones family.
You're going to pay $35 million, approximately $30 to $35 million, to CeeDee Lamb. I think from now on, the other receiver has to cost $15 million or less.
So there you go. It seems like this will be the final year with T. Higgins, with that particular pairing of elite wide receivers. So we'll see what the Bengals look like. And this is one of the big reasons why Joe Burrow and health, obviously, in addition to you just want your quarterback there, it's going to be super important, because this looks like the last go with that set of wide receivers. There you go. Some gridiron gravy for you on a Monday on the KNC Masterpiece here on 105.3 The Fan. I'm Reginald Atatula alongside your guy, Mike Bassett, and then, of course, Alec Medford on the ones and twos. Coming up next, though, Home Run Derby is tonight. What are you hoping to see? What are you expecting to see? And a novelty, I think, when it came to the MLB draft. We'll talk about all of that next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.